welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always, if you have a mobile phone, you can go to the App Store or Play Store, you can download the TuneIn app, put that on your phone, and then you can access radio stations all day. And you can listen to 96.9 Guardian FM all the time, but specifically on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 when it's time for The Blank Canvas. So this evening we have not been speaking about visual art, we've been speaking about creative arts in a much wider context, and we've invited Tiffany Austin, an assistant professor from UB, into the studio with her creative writing class to speak about, and we go by the Tingham Collective. And we've been hearing from some young poets about, you know, why they chose poetry, why they're doing that class, what they get out of it. And specifically, we're having this conversation leading up to a poetry night that will be held at Hillside House on Friday the 29th. So that's in 2 days' time. It starts at 7 o'clock, and that is open to anybody who wants to go. So it is for poets, it is for spoken word professionals, whatever the name is for that person, performers. Right. You do not have to get up and read your work if you don't want to, but you can just come and listen. It's a really wonderful environment at Hillside House. It's a very warm and kind of welcoming space, and generally it's a nice evening out. So I would encourage anyone who's interested in poetry to just come on out and meet some of these young poets, and meet Tiffany and just have a nice evening. So we're going to meet the last of our new... We're revisiting with someone who was in the studio before, but our last new visitor is Sarah Tilberg, who's a freshman at UB. And she is also part of the creative writing class. So I'm just going to ask you the same question that I asked everybody, which is, why creative writing? Why poetry? How did you get into it? And
I have not always been involved in creative writing. I've always been an avid reader. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually not an English major. I think a number of us are interested in different things. There are some English majors, but I'm a biochem major.
Wow. Okay.
And for me, I would compare writing to being fluent in a foreign language. So for me, it's just a way of being able to relay knowledge about several different topics, mm-hmm. and to be relatable. And so I'm able to transfer some of those skills to my other subjects as well.
Okay, well, that's a really interesting take on it. So it's basically becoming a master of communication in a way.
That's
so
right.
To be able to find different ways to communicate and find the best ways to communicate.
Yeah.
So it's really going to be a skill that you apply to... that just like blows my mind. I'm like, I just think scientists are like, you know, I'm very impressed. So is this your first creative writing class then? Is it the first time you've done this kind of exercise?
I wouldn't say it's my first creative writing class. I've approached the topic before. The structure of this class is far different from anything I've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at UB, they are very different. The method of teaching is heavy in workshopping, and I mm-hmm. think that should never go away, because mm-hmm. I appreciate validation. I appreciate being able to criticize other people's work, and mm-hmm. that's actually harder than writing your own thing sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I think it is, because, again, we're all very aware, specifically in this kind of context, and, again, I think in the creative fields in general, the person creating is putting so much of themselves and of their soul into their work, whether it's, you know, music or, you know, fine art or writing. That, of course, to take this offering they've given you and feel that, you know, you have to critique that can be a huge responsibility. So I think that's definitely. So how do you approach that with your classmates? Is that something you found you had to find a way, a language?
We do receive some guidance,
mm-hmm.
But at home I do sometimes review my sister's essays. She's mm-hmm. in high school, she's in ninth grade. And what I've been told is I sometimes overcorrect and try to write it for her, basically, mm-hmm. because I have a certain way of doing
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to take a step back and maybe realize that there are so many talented people who have different ways of expressing themselves.
Yeah, different
from me.
Voices.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so...
So how do you, Tiffany, how do you do that? How do you identify the voice of, because again, everyone, like you said, you know, we can all tell the same story. If we all went out for coffee now and something happened at the coffee shop that was noteworthy, we would probably all tell that story in a different way.
Right.
How
right.
do you manage to understand the voice of the person while still trying to clarify it to the extent that it is professionally done, it's done up to standard, it's the communication is at a level that everyone How do you do that?
Right. No, I think what Sarah was saying is great. And the first step, I think, is for allowing them to be intimate with their voice. So first they have to do that. And so a lot of times I'm telling them it's too general or too abstract, mm-hmm. And get more intimate, not even with the personal experience, but the language. Mm-hmm. And that's why like the haiku is so important, because mm-hmm. it's compactful language. So once they do that, there's a balance, right? When we're saying we're being critical, I don't like to think of it in terms of good or bad, mm-hmm. right? It's to make them more effective, mm-hmm. But also validating them and mm-hmm. saying, I know what you're trying to do, but I mm-hmm. think if you maybe take this suggestion, and mm-hmm. I tell the listeners, because they have to listen to the feedback, mm-hmm. not to be defensive, right? Mm-hmm. And so they kind of have to let that go, mm-hmm. because there's the metaphor that the creative writing is your baby, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like someone destroying mm-hmm. your baby.
No, of course, and it's the same. Believe me, it's the same yeah. with visual artists, right? When you go into the studio and, you know, it's the same. That's what I mean. It's like the artist is giving a piece of themselves right. over. And it's right. really a very kind of that in itself is a very intimate process. Right. You're allowing someone into your internal thinking and emotion. Right. And for then someone to say, well, you know, I think you could do better. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But I think, too, I have usually every semester have a great group where they mm-hmm. don't think that their first piece is their best piece. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, the revision process is more fun than mm-hmm. that initial writing, mm-hmm. right? Because I can get to exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. And so I try to convey that to them mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, are you ready to share a piece of yourself with the Bahamian people?
I am. I actually have both a haiku and a landi for you today.
Okay, great. So are we going to start with a haiku?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
A conch shell pink sky, waves scatter its reflection, blink once and it's gone. And then the landy is, give me a millionth chance, I say, to become perfect enough to love, then we can talk.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's. I think a lot of women are going to relate to that, right? And what for you is the subversion there? Because I know this is a subversive...
I mean, it comes across as kind of the female perspective, mm-hmm. but really I was going for a general view. Mm-hmm. The norm that I was railing against was, in Bahamian society, we're a very social people, and everyone is, there are a lot of strong characters. Everyone is able to talk, even if they're not talking about anything that makes much sense, mm-hmm. very strongly, mm-hmm. and I don't always have that aspect to my personality. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is be very composed and know exactly what I'm going to say and mm-hmm. then have conversations with people. Mm-hmm. So basically what I was talking about was being able to interact with people when you don't feel that you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing, because you're right. It is a good observation. It is a very good observation. So thank you so much. So again, I just want to reiterate, are you going to be at the open mic on Friday?
I am.
You are? Great. So everyone, again, for the last time, probably not the last time tonight, but the open mic night is on Friday night, so it's a poetry night, where there will be poets getting up to read their work. It is open to everybody, so it's not only this group, the Tingham Collective, that, you know, it's not only for them, it's not just a performance of them, they're going to be there performing, but anyone else who would like to come out and share is welcome to do so. So I really encourage people to go down. I think this is a really wonderful thing, not just for, you know, this particular group of young people, but in general, for yes. like you spoke to, for the community, for life in general in the Bahamas. I'm right. obviously a great believer that the arts can transform us as people and yes. transform the nation, right. and that we haven't actually been paying enough attention to that. We've lost mm-hmm. a connection with that. I mean, again, we did used to be known for being this storytelling nation. Right. So I think it is something really important to encourage. And you're doing a lot of work to do that, Tiffany, so I have to thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And we will have a sign-up sheet. So as soon as you walk in, there will be a sign-up sheet for you, too. And this is a way, you know, I hear different outlets of people getting their ideas out about what's going on in terms of politics or even mm-hmm. the natural disasters, but a way that you can express yourself to other people and to me not feel so isolated or alone and feeling those, having those experiences.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing. Because again, you know, sometimes I do get a lot of questions about work in the gallery that isn't quote unquote beautiful. And and I always go back to the fact that, you know, art isn't just there to pacify us, mm-hmm. but it's also there to for people to know that they're not alone.
Right.
That they're people share. Right. That if you go and look at something that is about suffering or is about, you know, that it can be very comforting.
Right.
It might not look pretty, but it can it's still something like really important for the human condition.
Yes.
That we know that we share in these things. So I think this creative writing class and the poetry night at Hillside House, these are all great initiatives, but you're also bringing poets down
yes.
to you know, share in their experiences as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who we've got coming?
Yes, we're so excited. The Anatole Rogers lecturer this year will be famous poet Sonia Sanchez mm-hmm. from the U.S. She's most known for the Black Arts Movement, but she's done, I think, 20 books, including haiku, which some people don't know. But she covers all kinds of subjects, gender, race, politics, the family. Mm-hmm. And that's actually when she reads her poetry, she'll be talking about the family in our most intimate concept, but also a national family mm-hmm. and the human condition, right? What mm-hmm. is it to empathize with other people? So she'll be doing that from the text, Does Your House Have Lions? Mm-hmm. Is the text she'll be talking about. So we're really excited.
Now, when is that? What date is that going to be?
That's going to be Thursday, November 16th at 7 at the Performing Arts Center at UB.
Okay, great. So we should remind people when it gets closer to that on our show too, but say November 16th. And will she be then also participating in some workshops with your students?
She will. On that Friday at mm-hmm. noon, she will be conducting a workshop on haiku.
Fantastic. And now I understand that Winona has come back in the studio to read a few of Sonia Sanchez's poems for
yes,
us.
I have.
So we can get sort of a preview.
Yes. So this one is called Duende. My hands abandon me to bloodletting. My breasts are dancing in silver. My feet are crying blues. My thighs sing the flesh off the guitar. My breath is indecent as my teeth. Ah, yee. I am still standing.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Now, is that something you also are focusing on in the class? It's not only because we've been speaking specifically about the act of writing, right, and the act of clarifying your thoughts. What about the act of communicating? Is that something, Sarah, for example, you had to learn to do to be able to read? And is that something you work them through, too? Is like how to the delivery?
I would say yes. There are several novels and collections of poems that we are going through in the class, and some of our assignments are based on the work that we've read. We read them privately at home, and then we have discussions in class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us, we don't really have a problem. Our group is good at standing up and and delivering the lines as best we can and enunciating and, mm-hmm. and all of that. I think maybe the hardest part is understanding the poem without trying to decipher each line mm-hmm. as though it were an equation
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then getting the emotion across mm-hmm. because you have to know exactly how to sound as though you're having their conversation.
Right. Well, that's so. The point. I think, you know, Winona, when you just read that poem, you know, you had to, in a way, put yourself into the space where that poem was being written.
Yeah.
And is that something that, you know, it's a bit like being an actor, really. Do you have exercises for that as well? You know, if you see what I mean, that not just the actual yeah. writing, but the performing part.
Well, I think that comes from, like, being able to feel. Like, mm-hmm. once you can sort of have that empathy for whoever wrote it, because it's not necessarily that you know you've experienced that ever in your life, that experience that they're trying to convey as a poet, but it's for you to be able to open yourself up to that experience and just to feel, like Sarah says, not about necessarily understanding every little thing that was trying to be conveyed, but just opening yourself up. And I think that's where it comes into, where you can communicate it and you can, you know, display it in the way that was intended.
How hard is it for you to write your own work after you've read something like that?
It's like, why am I writing? You know, because it can be so powerful. And we were reading Teaching My Mother How to Give Birth, and that was by
Warsonshire.
She's an amazing writer. Like, that just blew me away. She had a series of of poetry's in her book, and I was just like taken aback. Like, it was beyond anything that I had ever read in my entire life. And so, like, it's intimidating, because it's almost, if you feel as if you could never even like stand up to something like that. But it's also inspiring, because if she can take that from out of herself and put it on the paper, it's like, you know, you sort of feel like you can do that as well. So it's that double-edged sword, mm-hmm. kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like also with poetry, it's almost like if you read, I mean, I'm a big novel reader as well, so I love novels. I'm a big reader. But it's almost like you can still sometimes get lost in the detail. And there's something about poetry which is so raw, because it's so stripped down. It's almost like you flayed everything off. You flayed all the skin, and, you know, you've really like just got down right to the heart.
Right.
Really, I think perhaps that's what makes poetry so something that you just goes right into your belly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is because
right.
of this stripping away. Mm-hmm. And when you're writing, do you either of you feel that way, that you're having to kind of peel layers off somehow?
Oh yes. Especially, well, in high school you do descriptive pieces, but they're essays or short stories, and I've never had to really write a whole lot of poems, and I think it's more challenging almost than other forms of writing, because you have to summarize,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time you have to be able to affect your audience with fewer words, so
mm-hmm.
I struggle with that a little bit.
We all do.
So I just want to thank all of you for being here tonight. It was really wonderful to meet you. We still have a few minutes, so Tiffany, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience about the open mic night, or Sonia Sanchez's visit, or any of the things?
Just join us. just once. And if you can't stand it, you know, but give it a chance. I really think that language has the power to change us. You know, it starts with thoughts, language, and action. And so I tell my students this all the time, that your power right now is in your language. And you know, I'm biased because I'm a writer and an instructor, mm-hmm. but I really believe it's true. And I'm so proud of these students, because each semester they come into my class and I ask them a very hard thing, to be vulnerable, and they are. And what they give me, I'm so grateful for. And just thinking about what you asked Wynonna and Sarah, in terms of, I read Toni Morrison, and mm-hmm. I remember as a young writer, and I thought, and I think I emailed my friend, my closest friend, and I said, I'm finished. I'm not going to be a poet.
I can never
anymore.
Do better than
right?
this.
What's the use? And she said to me, very seriously, I think she wrote a letter to me, and she said, do you know how selfish that is? What would I do if your words weren't out there? Mm-hmm. You know? And so that completely changed my mind. Mm-hmm. And this idea of the starving artist and no one supports the arts, that's a decision that we make. And mm-hmm. so we can change that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So I really believe that. And we're trying to start.
Mm. Good. Well, so. Good. And we're on board. And I think, again, it's, I've seen over and over again what a powerful tool writing can be. You know, whether it's just a personal thing or something that can really change a collective,
right.
Whether it's something that can just help you get through your own life or help other people get through theirs. Mm-hmm. I think it's something, and again, I believe very firmly that all the arts do that, and that's right. why they're such a key component in any society. And until we start really taking the arts seriously and really supporting them seriously, and by supporting, I don't just mean money.
Right.
It's not all about, like, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, the government's got to do that. I'm like, we have to get into it. We have to show up. We have to support our poets and our artists and our filmmakers, and we have to go to their screenings and go to their open mic nights in order to create a community where it's taken seriously.
Right.
And where it's shared. It's shared wide enough that it has the impact. I know it has. I mean, there are endless studies in the United States and Europe about the impact of all kinds of arts on communities, and they're all positive.
Yes.
So until we start taking it seriously, you know, we only have ourselves to blame for what we see around us. Anyhow, on that happy note, everyone come out on Friday night, Friday the 29th. That's in 2 nights' time. It starts at 7 o'clock at Hillside House. Hillside House is that very beautiful garden space with a little building in the back on Cumberland Street. Cumberland Street is the hill that goes down from Government House. If you come over the top of Blue Hill Road and you head down, that's Cumberland Street. And it's just there if you're heading down the hill on the right-hand side. It is free and open to the public. Normally, there's some kind of refreshment. So even if you just come for that, show up. Come if you have something to share. Come if you have something you don't want to share, but you just want to listen and enjoy the evening. And also, stay tuned, and we will hopefully be able to have a show about this closer to the date, but write this down in your diaries that November the 16th, we'll have Sonia Sanchez here at UB as part of the Anatole Rogers lecture, and she will be here sharing her work with us, which I think is a really wonderful experience. So I would encourage people to like look out for that and go to that too. So Tiffany, I want to thank you, Tiffany Austin, assistant professor at UB. I want to thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank you two in the room, but also the other two on the other side of the glass right now. So thank you to everyone. So Jamie Petty, Winona Nichols, Tristan Arnold, Kamisha Brown, Sarah Tilburg, and Aaliyah Newbold, who we didn't hear from, but who's here with us. She's new in the class, but she joined the gang. So I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank the listeners for listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.